from WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, Michigan residents affected by PFAS contamination are worried that proposed changes to federal regulations may delay cleanup and scuttle drinking water.
We think EPA has an obligation under the Safe Drinking Water Act to regulate these chemicals.
The state of PFAS contamination in Michigan and how EPA standards may affect it. That's this week's feature story. And this week's brain teaser for this Father's Day weekend deals with the ultimate dad movie with a Michigan connection. So grab your popcorn and stick around for the question after these headlines. State officials say Antrim County Clerk Victoria Bishop has changed and even canceled the voting status of several people. The nonprofit news outlet VoteBeat reports that Michigan's Bureau of Elections has put Bishop on notice to cease the actions which fall outside her authority. The state director of elections recently revoked Bishop's access to the voter rolls. Bishop is suspended from accessing voter rolls until she completes training on voter roll security, promises to comply with Michigan's election law in the future, and responds to the initial inquiry on whose voter registrations were changed and why. The wife of a former Michigan House Speaker pled guilty to embezzlement Tuesday. As Colin Jackson reports, her husband is due in court for his own charges in about a month.
Stephanie Chatfield admitted to taking between $200 and $1,000 from a political nonprofit associated with her husband, former Republican House Speaker Lee Chatfield. The deal lets Stephanie Chatfield serve probation instead of jail time. Lee Chatfield faces over a dozen felony charges for allegedly taking money from a nonprofit he fundraised with and spending it on luxury goods and services. His wife marks the third associate of his who has taken a plea deal in the investigation. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
New proposed data center regulations in the Michigan Senate would cap the amount of water they could use, require new reporting about water and power usage, and block utility costs from being passed along to customers. Democratic State Senator Kevin Hertel says current rules depend on factors like whether a project is seeking tax breaks and what state regulators approve case by case.
The work we are doing here now is to make sure that any data center built here in the state to this size will be holding to these regulations. And I think the legislation that we are putting forward today put some of the strictest requirements on data centers anywhere.
The bills would not pause approval of new data center projects. Data center critics worry about residents having to pick up the cost of data centers' massive power demands, despite some state policies already banning that. A once-eradicated pest that can kill animals has been identified in the southwestern United States. Now, Michigan agriculture officials are placing new limits on animals entering the state from impacted areas. WCMU's A.J. Jones explains.
The New World screwworm is a fly that lays eggs in the wounds of warm-blooded animals. They can cause serious damage and even death. Now, Michigan officials are banning warm-blooded animals from infected locations from entering the state. In addition, animals located near the infected zone must be checked by a veterinarian and receive certifications. Tim Boring heads the state's agricultural department, who are leading the response.
These are going to be really requirements that are going to be applicable to largely any warm-blooded animal species. There are some exceptions. We know that poultry and reptiles, for instance, are not nearly so susceptible to this.
He also says the fly does not pose any risk to food safety. The screwworm was eradicated in America in 1966. However, there have been a few small flare-ups over the decades since. I'm A.J. Jones, WCMU News.
Months after rain and snowfall caused major flooding in communities across northern Michigan, homeowners are still contemplating what to do next with their damaged property. Some residents are deciding whether to sell or destroy their homes, while others are thinking about spending thousands of dollars on repairs. Ann Williams' parents own a cottage on Black Lake. She says she won't sell the lakefront house for, quote, pennies on the dollar.
It is emotionally worth more than what the market is saying right now.
Water pumps and mold treatment have cost some impacted homeowners up to $10,000. That's a price that many are struggling to afford. Local officials say some residents have decided to salvage what they can. Federal agencies are currently assessing the damage caused by the flood, but it's unclear when or if assistance will be distributed. And now it's time for this week's Brain Teaser.
Teaser.
I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. Today's question is a Michigan Dad movie question. In this movie, actor Kevin Costner plays an aging Detroit Tigers pitcher while reflecting on his life and career. What is it? Again, in this movie, actor Kevin Costner plays an aging Detroit Tigers pitcher while reflecting on his life and career. What is it? Well, that one should be an easy grounder for all you dads and non-dads out there. We'll see if you got it right after this. PFAS contamination sites in Oscoda and Grayling have a long way to go until they are fully cleaned up. And WCMU's Emma George Griffin says some of the residents are worried that recent decisions at the federal level could jeopardize those cleanup projects. And she joins me right now. Hello, Emma. How are you?
Good morning, Tina. I'm great.
So, Emma, PFAS was found in the former Air Force base in Oscoda over a decade ago. Where are they at in that cleanup process?
Well, Tina, residents in Oscoda say the military has been dragging their feet on this project. PFAS chemicals don't go away, and the cleanup process is very complicated. Residents weren't expecting the problem to get better overnight, but there have been several setbacks along the way. Like in May, the Air Force announced a delay that will push back the project another 5 years. Tony Spaniola is the co-chair of the PFAS Action Network. He says a group of community members have been working with the Air Force to get the job done right.
We shouldn't be in this place. It should have been done right in the first instance, but we need to get it done right now. And it's being done with the recommendations from this work group in which we have a great deal of faith.
He says community members are mainly worried about stopping further contamination of the chemicals through groundwater. Right now, residents have special water filters that take out the toxic chemicals.
Oh, wow. What are the things like at Camp Grayling?
Residents who live near the military base also have filters installed in their homes, or they have other means of getting drinking water, like plastic water bottles. Mm-hmm. And Ray Basil is a community member that's heavily involved in the cleanup at Camp Grayling. He says the military was planning on installing a large barrier that forces contaminated water to go deeper into the soil and pass through charcoal. He kind of described it as a large Brita filter.
If the charcoal captures and the compound is, attaches, and then coming out the other end is clean drinking water.
Basil said the construction for that plan never actually happened. So he said the military is looking for other means to accomplish that goal. But as of right now, things are kind of slow going.
Okay. I know the EPA recently proposed a new rule on PFAS regulations. If it's implemented, how will it affect these projects?
So Michigan actually has its own set of PFAS contamination rules. And according to residents I spoke to, the military said Camp Grayling and the Air Force base at Oscoda will be protected under those state laws. Mm. But some residents are still worried that those projects could be affected, especially because it looks like the Trump administration is trying to deregulate PFAS at the federal level.
Okay, can you explain what that means?
So the EPA changed PFAS regulation standards in 2024 during the Biden administration. Under those standards, six kinds of forever chemicals aren't allowed in drinking water.
Okay.
Some utilities and chemical companies actually sued the EPA, saying they didn't follow the implementation process correctly for those new water standards. But under the new Trump administration, the EPA agreed with the chemical companies.
Okay, so now the EPA switched sides and agrees that the Biden administration messed up?
Yes, that's right. Plus, they asked the court to basically void the 2024 PFAS standards because of it. The court has yet to decide if the EPA actually broke the rules during the Biden administration, but in May, the EPA filed a new proposal anyway. It rolls back protections to drinking water, and it gives companies extra time to comply with the standards. Jared Thompson is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council. He's defending the original PFAS standards.
You know, we think EPA has an obligation under the Safe Drinking Water Act to regulate these chemicals and take action to keep them out of drinking water.
Residents I spoke to widely agree with Thompson, and they hope that PFAS will continue to be regulated at the federal level.
Oh, well, thank you for your reporting on this, Emma. Great job.
Thanks, Tina.
That was my conversation with WCMU reporter Emma George Griffin. Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's Brain Teaser. we drew a dad movie question that reads, in this movie, actor Kevin Costner plays an aging Detroit Tigers pitcher while reflecting on his life and career. What is it? Again, in this movie, actor Kevin Costner plays an aging Detroit Tigers pitcher while reflecting on his life and career. What could it be? And the answer is, for the love of the game. The Michigan connection is that Costner's character plays a Detroit Tiger, and the movie was directed by Sam Raimi, who grew up in Royal Oak, Michigan, and attended Michigan State University before hitting it big as a director in Hollywood. Well, hope I was able to lob that one to you, and you hit a home run with that question. That's it for the puns, and that's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, WCMU.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a great Father's Day weekend.